Eagles fans, you are locked into the Philadelphia Eagles. What's going on, everybody? This is the Locked On Eagles podcast. As always, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Happy Thanksgiving. I'm recording here on a very early Thursday morning as I will be leaving for a trip to Arizona on Friday, so not going to be able to record on Friday or Saturday, so thought I'd squeeze one more show in for you today. And I don't know if you're listening on Thanksgiving Thursday, but Friday, Saturday, whenever before this matchup against the Miami Dolphins you're listening, we always do appreciate you guys tuning in. And if you missed yesterday on Wednesday, Gino Camilleri, my co-host, was joined by Locked On Dolphins host Travis Wingfield. The two of them previewed this coming matchup Sunday in Miami between the Eagles and the Dolphins. And then on Tuesday, we did Stock Up, Stock Down, a Week 12 edition. So, again, as I say on every show, make sure you're subscribing to the podcast on whatever platform that you listen to your shows. Just tell Siri or Alexa to play Locked On Eagles, because we're posting 4 to 6 episodes a week. And this is episode number 4 for Miami week. And it's all about the Eagles getting ready here for a huge, really important final five games of the season. To make the playoffs, they're going to have to likely win out. And we'll get into the scenarios of how they do get into the postseason here in segment 3. In segment 2, as I normally do throughout the year during the season, I like to get at least one podcast that has a lot to do with Carson Wentz. The quarterback position is obviously so important, and it's so big right now in Philadelphia. It's such a polarizing topic, whether it's justified or not, considering the really bad game Carson Wentz had against Seattle last week and the very up and down one he had against the New England Patriots. So coming up in segment 2, I want to get into how, despite everything that's happened this year for Carson Wentz, the roller coaster of a season that he's had in 2019, everything that he and the Eagles set their sights on this season is still there for the taking at 5-6. And that may sound untrue, it may sound unbelievable, but it really still is. But before we get into those parts of this topic of a potential upcoming playoff push, we do want to get into how the Eagles are getting healthy at the perfect time for this potential run. They're getting healthy right when they need it. Today, the first official injury report of the week heading into Miami. Lane Johnson returned to practice from concussion protocol, so they're going to get their right tackle back against the Dolphins. Alshon Jeffrey and Nelson Aguilar both practiced at wide receiver. Brandon Brooks, Carson Wentz both practiced. Brooks left the game on Sunday due to the dealings of anxiety, and Carson Wentz had a banged up hand after making a tackle on one of the turnovers in that game. Both did practice fully today. They are expected to play on Sunday, and that's huge. I mean, look at all the players that I mentioned in that injury report that the Eagles have been either missing, banged up, or playing inconsistent, that are seen as some of the most important players of this team. Lane Johnson, Alshon Jeffrey, Nelson Aguilar, Brandon Brooks, who had to come out last week, and Matt Pryor had to play right guard. And then Carson Wentz, making sure that he's ready to go and he's still healthy here for the stretch run, is absolutely huge. Because, you know, they do play 4 of their last final games are against really bad teams, teams that will be picking in the top 5 or the top 7 of the 2020 NFL draft. But to get hot, to get ready for that Week 16 game against Dallas, you need all of these players back, clearly, because you saw what happened last week against the Seahawks and against the Patriots, especially on offense, when you didn't have all of these guys. As for another player that's been very important to the success the Eagles have had this year is running back Jordan Howard. He has not yet been cleared for contact. He practiced on a limited basis once again on Wednesday. Man, this is some shoulder stinger. I mean, this is the thing. And stingers, I'm not sure exactly what the severity of that injury is, but the way Doug Peterson described it when it was first reported heading into the bye week after that game against Chicago, it seemed like, oh, okay, you know, the prototypical day-to-day injury. He's just a little banged up, but he'll probably be back for the Patriots game. No, he ends up being unhealthy throughout the bye week. He doesn't play against New England, and then he doesn't play this past week against the Seahawks. So is this a day-to-day kind of thing like DeSean Jackson, where suddenly it's going to turn into, you know, 10 weeks and he doesn't play again for the Eagles this year? What is it? And the problem is that you know, you can't really do anything about the injury itself now. Of course, you can condition him better to get him ready, a higher pain tolerance, and I do question if the strength and conditioning team does a good job at that. The bigger problem here, and we've said it on the show before, is that they only have Doug Peterson as a voice for the medical staff in the front office describing these injuries, and Doug Peterson has continuously said week after week, day after day, each press conference, oh, you know, they're trending upward, right? That's the big theme, is what he keeps saying during his press conferences. And by the way, the whole Doug Peterson funny guy shtick in the press conferences is really getting to me. And maybe if they had a winning record by multiple games, it wouldn't bother me. But when these serious questions are asked, these statements make the players look bad. When the injury status of a player this important is up in the air, and you know, you're making jokes about it, and there's just little to no information, it's frustrating. It really is. So we're not going to get real information about it with the Eagles, but much like they did with Jalen Mills last year, DeSean Jackson, just so many different injuries. There's too many to think of. They have downplayed them. And this is another one where it's frustrating. Jordan Howard, I bet you he does not end up playing this week against the Dolphins. Another update to get into on the Wednesday injury report. Tight end Zach Ertz was dealing with a hamstring injury, so he did not practice. That's not good. I mean, we don't know the severity of a hamstring injury. We do know they can linger. Hopefully it's not that serious, because of all the guys that maybe you could stomach losing, Zach Ertz is one of the last ones on that list. The Eagles need Zach Ertz so badly with how heavily they've had to rely on 12 personnel, with how, you know, Dallas Goedert has produced this year, but he's been very inconsistent with turnovers and with drops. And of course, you need Alshon Jeffrey and Nelson Agholor back. It's good that they both practiced yesterday, but Zach Ertz is your most reliable passing target, someone that, despite being double covered every single week against really good defenses, against the Patriots, against the Seahawks last week, he's still the one guy that's really producing for Carson Wentz. So we'll continue to monitor that injury. But for the most part, it was a pretty positive Wednesday injury report to get back Lane Johnson, Alshon Jeffrey, Nelson Agholor, Brandon Brooks. I mean, these are players that they're the faces of your offense. Even with the ones that have regressed, Alshon and Nelly, there's such an upgrade over what they've had to deal with, what Carson Wentz has had to deal with over the last 2 weeks. You can't expect them to go on this consistent run, right? You've been able to get by. You were able to get to 5-4 and stay alive. Although 5-6 is not where you want to be, it could have been a whole lot worse. But to get to what they need to do now to make the postseason is a consistent 5-game winning streak. They have not been on more than a 2-game winning streak this season, or since, I think it was 2017, right? Because last year they didn't do it either. So, because they won 2 straight against the Giants and Redskins, and they lost to the Cowboys, right? And then they beat the Rams and Texans, and then, oh, I'm sorry. So they went on a 3-game winning streak down the stretch last year. But exactly, to get to where they were last year, they needed to win out basically to make the playoffs the last 3 games of the season. Here with the final 5 games, they have to win out because they're in a bigger hole and they're in a strong NFC, a much more well-rounded, you know, really good NFC conference this year. They're going to have to go on a 5-game winning streak. To pile up that consistency, they're going to have to stay healthy. They're going to need the guys, the majority of the guys that they built this roster to run through in March and April and throughout the summer heading into the regular season. I do think if they get these guys healthy, they can do it. The defense is playing really well right now. You can ride this offensive line. Getting Alshon and Agholor back, I think, will help get Carson Wentz back on track. Carson Wentz, we're going to get into it next segment. He can turn this slump into another Eagles stretch run. He still has the playoff run, his playoff run, set up here with the final 5 games of the season. And of course, you're not probably feeling a whole lot more confident after seeing the last 2 weeks of Carson Wentz, but despite what seemed like career low performances for number 11, everything he wants to do right now is still in front of him. Everything this Eagles team wants is still in front of them. And that's what's coming up next right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. And guys, we are sponsored today by MyBookie. For this week only, MyBookie is offering a risk-free bet on the Bears-Lions game, which is the first game today. Get excited. Mitchell Trubisky versus Jeff Driscoll. So make sure you get some money on the action, because the quarterback battle itself is not going to be very underwhelming, to say the least. Simply choose a team against the spread for up to $250. If you win, congrats. You've got extra holiday spending money for some Christmas gifts. If you lose, congratulations to you as well. MyBookie will give you all your money back. It's a no-brainer because you literally cannot lose on this one. It's no risk, and it's all gravy. Do you find yourself wanting to sports bet but have a lot of questions? Don't sweat it. MyBookie's patient customer service team can walk you through the process. And the best part is, if you join now, you'll still have one last shot to take advantage of their incredible sign-up offer. Just log on to MyBookie.ag today and make your first deposit with the promo code LOCKEDON, and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar to jumpstart your bankroll, and that's on top of the risk-free bet. Let me repeat, that's on a guaranteed deposit match and a risk-free bet for this week only. So if you're a true football fan, you do not want to let this opportunity pass you by. You simply cannot lose. Make sure you do your part to support your team this season. Hop on that gravy train and get in on the action with MyBookie. You play, you win, and you get paid. We'll be right back. Welcome back in, everybody. This is the Locked On Eagles podcast. Happy Thanksgiving. Today's podcast is sponsored by food. That's right, it's DoorDash. Treat yourself to the meal you deserve and have your favorite restaurants come to you with DoorDash. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code LOCKEDON. Listening on the go, if you can't visit DoorDash right now, you can find this and all other offers from Locked On sponsors at lockedonpodcast.com/offers. I got into on segment one an injury report here. It's looking pretty good for the Eagles getting healthy at the perfect time, because boy, are they going to need it to be consistent for the first time in 2019. And win, they got to win at least four or five in the playoff scenarios that they can find their way into playing into January. But for the most part, you're going to probably have to win out and win five games. So to have Lane Johnson back, Alshon Jeffrey, Nelson Agholor, Brandon Brooks, hopefully Jordan Howard sometime soon, that'll be big. But one of the big things that the Eagles have to do, you know, getting healthy, I think injuries have been maybe, yeah, I would say reason number one the season has gone the way it has. But the Eagles need Carson Wentz to be what he has been through. You know, there's been 11 games. For what he was in 8 to 9 of those 11 games, they need that Carson Wentz back. If the Carson Wentz that played against the Seattle Seahawks returns against Miami, that's a recipe for disaster. You're not making the playoffs this year, and it starts to make you wonder. You know, we'll get into why Wentz has been the way he has, and we've kind of talked about it, right? The inconsistency with a supporting staff on offense at wide receiver, the coaching staff. But if that has kind of caused Carson Wentz to now carry that bad play into a better situation, but he can't get out of this rut that he's in, that's really concerning. Despite being in that slump right now, if he can get out of it, the season is not over. His opportunity for the quote-unquote revenge tour of 2019, it's all still there for the taking. If the offense, if Carson Wentz can, you know, bounce back. 2019 has not gone the way the Eagles have planned at all. And yet they control their own destiny. Like I said, they went out and they are into the playoffs. If they can beat four really bad teams and finally beat the Dallas Cowboys, and it's at home, the Eagles are going to be playing in the playoffs this year. So if Carson Wentz can stay healthy, he has that opportunity that was really taken away from him the last 2 years because of health. The opportunity that you saw Nick Foles take full advantage of. Even though Foles struggled in the first couple weeks of the season last year, he was able to get hot at the right time, and he was able to put the Eagles on another run back-to-back years. So Carson Wentz needs to bounce back to do that too, just like Nick Foles did. I think, you know, some of the main things he needs to be better at: protecting the football within the pocket. He's got to feel pressure better. He's got to feel, of course, feeling the pressure is big for his escapability, but he's got to be moving his feet more. He just needs to get back to playing comfortable football, you know, loose, confident. Even though it's been an up and down year for the offense, you could rely on Carson Wentz to not be a liability. While he couldn't always save this wide receiving core against the Falcons and the Lions, even though he nearly did it, while he wasn't able to save them, he wasn't the reason, he wasn't costing you either, like he was, you know, last week. So we just got to get back to that Carson Wentz. It's not like we need the 2017 version. Yeah, it'd be nice if he could get back to an MVP level, but he was a pretty damn good quarterback for the first couple months of this season. He talked at this press conference today. You know, I mentioned protecting the football because he had a couple really bad fumbles on Sunday. He should have lost a few more. He talked about getting two hands on the football, you know, within the pocket. But the back and forth with protecting the football and escaping, there's a balance you have to find there. You have to know when to protect the ball, of course, when to get it out, when to know the play is over, especially when he's had the wide receiving core that he's had as of late. But you still need him to use that escapability. It's what makes him great. Alshon Jeffrey's coming back and Nelson Agholor, but those two players are not the 2017 versions. You're going to need Carson Wentz to help elevate this offense as he has done so far, you know, this season. And I think, again, protect the football, certainly when you're about to get hit, get the ball out better, but there's ways to balance that with still utilizing your escapability, because it's not as easy to escape when you have two hands on the football. Carson Wentz's instincts take over. The football goes in one hand and he tries to move around. He's trying to get out of a bad situation. He's got to set himself up better, though, when he's got to do that. You know, he's got to move his feet inside, feel pressure better. That should come, I think, when he isn't thinking so much about the down the field things, when he's just kind of reading and reacting, when he's playing more confident. Again, that's the part that's really affecting him, is the mental side of it. It's affecting his accuracy, his vision of the field. And of course, I think that reason for the mental lapse is the personnel around him. Once he gets that back, I think you'll start to see him have better pocket presence. He can't just sit there like a stone, because then when you set yourself up like that and you're getting suffocated and there's really no way out, and then you try to get out of that situation with one hand on the football, that's when you fumble. So the ball protection skills, two hands on it is obviously going to help, but what's also going to help is stepping up in the pocket. Don't just, you know, get into your three-step drop back, your five-step drop back, and then just stop right there. Bounce around. That's what Lamar Jackson's been doing so well in Baltimore this year. It's not just his mobility. Lamar Jackson's pocket presence, his footwork, has been absolutely beautiful, and that's been something Carson Wentz has always really struggled at, but it wasn't nearly as bad as what we saw against Seattle last week. He's got to hop around more. He's got to get to the edge quicker. He's got to know when to bail outside the pocket, because he's waiting too long to decide when he's going to do that, and that's what's also causing the fumble. So there's all these different factors that can set himself up better for success, and that should come with an improved personnel, with more confidence, and with the coaching staff simply being better, because I can't imagine there's a lot of guys outside of Doug Peterson that are helping him with these situations. I have no faith in Mike Groh or Press Taylor right now, you know, at all. And I do think you will see him get back to that, where he was before the bye week against the Bills, against the Bears. He's been good most of the season outside of the last 2 weeks. And even that Patriots game wasn't nearly as bad to me as others believe. So he's got to catch that fire that Nick Foles did. At the same time, he wasn't the only one to catch the fire. The reason Nick Foles struggled last year at the start of the season, the reason Carson Wentz is struggling right now, again, is the talent that is lacking around him. The execution that's just not getting done. The support system is just not there right now. And you look at what the difference was last year when they won 5 of their last 6. Yeah, having a healthy quarterback in Nick Foles over Carson Wentz certainly did help. But also everybody else got going. The offensive line, the pass rush. Doug Peterson as a play caller got going. Alshon Jeffrey took off. Nelson Agholor got hot down the stretch. Everything was clicking on all cylinders. Even the run game got a little bit better because the offensive line improved. So Wentz needs Doug. He needs the other coaches. He needs the playmakers to help him out right now, because he's kept them alive earlier in the season when those players around him and the coaches did not help elevate him. We always talk about the quarterback elevating players around him, but it's got to be vice versa at times too. Someone has got to at times make Carson Wentz look better. It's part of why he almost won MVP in 2017, because he had two head coaches, genius offensive minds in Doug Peterson and Frank Reich in his back pocket, and he had John DeFilippo as well. So right now he's in that rut, but nobody has bailed him out. Of course, you got to give credit to the defense. They have tried to bail out the offense and nearly did against two great teams. But name me one offensive player this year that when Carson Wentz has struggled, they picked up the pace. Name me somebody. It hasn't happened yet. So Carson Wentz needs to be better. He has the run in front of him. But like last year, to help Nick Foles get hot for 2 straight years, mind you, because remember, Nick Foles was struggling in 2017 in the regular season when Wentz first went down. When everything else took off around him and made it easier for those guys to bounce back as well. And I do think Carson Wentz is going to do it. And if he does it, it would be an amazing story. It would be an amazing story for Carson Wentz overcoming the injuries the past 2 years of seeing his team win a Super Bowl without him. Then when he gets hurt again, Foles taking a 6-7 team to 9-7 and winning a playoff game and nearly getting back to the NFC Championship game because Carson Wentz was hurt. The regression at wide receiver this year, the outside distractions, right? The anonymous source criticizing him, Orlando Scandrick going on TV and saying stuff, people thinking it was a burner account of Nelson Aguilar attacking Carson Wentz. And the other day, Jalen Mills' social media account was liking, you know, anti-Carson Wentz material, even though it was probably someone that runs his account. These are all, you know, really big-time distractions that I'm sure do affect Carson Wentz. He's not an idiot. He read the story in the summer of anonymous sources, you know, talking bad about him, criticizing him as a teammate. And while I don't think a lot of it was right, most players don't, at the same time, it's there, and it's a distraction. Even if it's not right, it's still going to affect him. I'm sure it upset him a lot. So you have the slump he's in right now. If he can overcome everything I'm talking about in this year with the kind of pressure he has in this market that already is brutal, brutally critical of players, and a lot of the time justfully so, but especially the quarterback position. I mean, Eagles fans like to get on sometimes quarterbacks that aren't the problem. I mean, Donovan McNabb, you feel like the guy, he's a legend. His number is retired in the rafters at Lincoln Financial Field, and for the most part, if you heard around Eagles circles people talking about McNabb, you would think he's a Dallas Cowboys quarterback. So he's already in a passionate market, brutally honest, sometimes unfair fan base that he's playing in the city of Philadelphia with the Philadelphia Eagles to add on to that pressure of Nick Foles leaving behind this legacy. I mean, there's a damn statue outside the building. With how much the national media hyped up this team, with how the local media, including me and Gino, hyped up this team, with how talented they were in the summer, with that kind of pressure, if he can overcome all of these obstacles he's had to deal with this season, it would be one of the coolest stories that we've had. It would be awesome. And even if he doesn't make a run after he makes the playoffs, if Carson Wentz can help get the Eagles into the postseason, even if they lose in the wild card, it would be a damn good story. And I would look back on the 2019 season and I would say it's a success, especially for number 11. All right, we got to take one more break here on the Lockdown Eagles podcast. Coming up next, if the Eagles do get in, I think they can do some damage, but they have to get in. How do they do that? We'll get into the scenarios coming up next. This is a Thanksgiving edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. All right, Eagles fans across the globe, especially in the United States today, because it's the American version of Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving to our Canadian listeners from before, whenever Canadian Thanksgiving was. But for our American listeners, happy Thanksgiving today. Go Buffalo Bills. It'd be a big win if they can take down the Dallas Cowboys. As I said before I hit the break, I do think if the Eagles get in, they could do damage like they did last year. Last year, they were a 9-7 football team. They were as inconsistent as they've been so far this year in the regular season, and they damn near made the NFC Championship game. You would get a home playoff game, seemingly, if you make the playoffs, because you're going to have to win the NFC East. You've beaten good teams. You've taken down the Green Bay Packers. You beat an 8-3 Buffalo Bills team. You beat one of the best defenses in the league in the Chicago Bears. You nearly beat two of the best in the league in the New England Patriots and the Seattle Seahawks without any sort of offensive production at all. You know, they're not the team we thought they'd be, but they weren't last year at this time either. They were 5-6 at this time, too. So I don't know. I'm at mercy to this belief that I have in this team, this positive that maybe you just don't feel. Just based on what they've done the last 2 years, it's hard to rule them dead in the water until they really are mathematically. As long as they have a chance at the playoffs, from what I've seen the past 2 years, until I see that that doesn't happen again, it's hard for me to not have hope. It's hard for me to really not believe in this team. So how do they do that again for a third straight year? And not saying I shouldn't make it seem like 2017 was the same as last year or this year, because they coasted their way into the postseason. But just like last year, 2017, they were getting hot at the perfect time. After that divisional game against the Falcons in the playoffs, they took off and smacked the number one ranked defense in the NFC title and then beat the best dynasty ever in sports in the Super Bowl. So how do they get in and try to do that again for a third straight year of making a nice playoff run, a deep playoff run? Winning out will do that. If they win out and get to 10-6, they're in. It doesn't matter what the Cowboys do, because, yeah, right now Dallas only has 5 losses to the Eagles 6. But if you beat the Cowboys week 16, and you win out, you're 10-6. So even if the Cowboys win the rest of their games at 10-6, you're still going to get in because you'll have the same divisional record and you'll have split the head-to-head, and the third tiebreaker is common opponents, and you will have a better record against the same opponents as the Dallas Cowboys, and that is what will push you forward into the playoffs. So winning out gets the Eagles into the playoffs. That's the easiest scenario, is by winning five straight games against the Dolphins, against the Giants twice, against the Cowboys, and against the Redskins. Those are, and not in the right order, but those are your final five matchups. How do you get in at 9-7 if Dallas is 9-7? You would have to get that Cowboys win week 16. And then, it doesn't, like, you can't just drop any of your other games, your other four. The only game you can lose is the one this Sunday against the Miami Dolphins. So while it would probably be World War III on Eagles Twitter, if the Eagles lose on Sunday against the Dolphins, it still wouldn't be over. You would need the Cowboys to obviously lose to the Eagles week 16, that's their sixth loss, and then you would need them to lose one game between the Buffalo Bills today, the Chicago Bears next week, the Los Angeles Rams, and the Washington Redskins. Division record would be a losing tiebreaker for the Eagles. If they go 9-7, they beat the Dolphins, right? They beat the Cowboys, but then they lose to the New York Giants or the Washington Redskins. Because the Cowboys already beat you, yeah, you split the head-to-head. The common opponent record is in favor of you, but the divisional record is the second tiebreaker, and that is what would hurt you. So the only way to get in at 9-7 if Dallas is 9-7 is by beating them week 16 and only dropping this Miami game. So that's how you get in at 9-7 if Dallas is 9-7. You can get in at 9-7. You can lose to the Cowboys. You could lose to the Redskins or the Giants one of the two times. Like, you could drop one of those games and still get in, but the Cowboys would have to lose three games. That's tough. Or even, I should say, Dallas would have to lose at least two if you beat them week 16. Like, let's say you go 9-7, right? If you're following here, you go 9-7 by beating the Cowboys and by winning three of your other four, but you do drop one of those NFC East games, right? So you don't have that tiebreaker in the divisional record against the Cowboys. You would need Dallas to lose two to get to 8-8, because you would have already beaten them, so that's their sixth loss, and then they would have to drop two, which is possible, between the Rams, the Bears, the Bills, and the Redskins. If you lose to Dallas and you want to go 9-7, then you're going to have them go 8-8, so they would have to lose three of those other four, and that's tough. I mean, it's possible. I could see it. The Cowboys are reeling. They've only really beaten bad teams this year, and they've lost to some bad teams, like the New York Jets earlier in the season, so could they drop three of four against the Rams, Bears, Bills, and Redskins? Yeah, absolutely, but they should not be banking on it. The real path to the playoffs right now for the Eagles is to win out, and if you don't win out, you got to win that Dallas game week 16. All right, that's going to do it for today's edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Thank you all so much for tuning in to today's edition of the show. Have a good Thanksgiving dinner. We will be back on Sunday to recap what is hopefully a blowout Eagles loss against the win. Oh my God, if it was a blowout loss. let's just say I'm going to log off Twitter for a couple weeks. Especially, I'm just going to mute hashtag Eagles and just never going to come back. Again, hopefully we're recapping a blowout win for the Eagles in South Beach against the 2-9 Miami Dolphins. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening. And let's go, Birds.